giants come calling my name. My God is so much bigger than the troubles I face. Why would I hunger for power or riches or fame? Oh, 'cause my God is so much better than all of these things. So I won't be shaken.
So I won't be it's okay to remind the enemy that my God can take you out at any time. I remember when I was little, I used to say to my friend, my daddy can whoop your daddy anytime. I tell you, our God is great. There's no force that can stand against our God. Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to dismiss our children to children's church, age 5 to 12. All the children. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Joel, chapter number 2. While you're turning there, I want to say that, again, today is a very, very important day for all of us as Christians. The whole direction of our life can change right now. And this is, you could do it in June, you could do it in February, but it just seems like there's something about starting a new year where you can get focused, you can make up your mind, you're going to change some things, and it's a wonderful day to do that, this first day of the new year. We're calling a fast in the month of January, and we're going to see God move in the miraculous. Joel chapter number 2 and verse number 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to gather in your midst. We thank you for the power of the Spirit of God that we feel in this sanctuary this morning. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would anoint every ear that we can hear what the Spirit of God would say. Anoint these lips of clay with that holy anointing that makes preaching effective. Lord, without that anointing, the words will fall on deaf ears. We will not change. Lord, we need a divine transformation by the power of the Spirit of God. I pray you'd help us today. Speak to us by your Spirit. We ask you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the thought, it's time to sanctify a fast. Every year here at Harvest Time Church, we designate this time as a special time of prayer and fasting. Throughout the years, we have seen miracles take place right after this January month. And I can tell you, I believe it's directly linked to a people of God who are setting themselves aside and they are making up their mind. They're going to stand flat-footed on the Word of God. God promised us if we would do this, He would do that. Every promise in the Word of God has a condition that must be met first by you and I in order to get the promise. And He says, if you will, I will. I'm here today to tell you that God is waiting on us to do our part. He said, if you will fast and pray, I'm going to send miracles your way, things that you will not believe. God is still a God of miracles, but He's just waiting on you and I to fast and pray. Make no mistake about it. Today, there's two great enemies that cringe whenever they hear the fact that I'm preaching on fasting. Two great enemies hate this message. Number one, it's the devil. And number two, it's my flesh. These two enemies hate this message. Why do they hate it so much? Well, I'll tell you why the devil hates the messages on fasting. Because he knows that whenever the church begins to fast biblically, it is his undoing. It is still the ultimate weapon of the church when we begin to fast and pray. Why is that? Because the devil knows that he can overcome us, but he can't overcome the Christ man within us. He knows that fasting deals the death blow to that flesh, and whenever we deal the death blow to the flesh man, that's when and only when the Holy Ghost can begin to flow through us. If we will die to self, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost will begin to move again, and God will heal the sick. We can cast out devils. We'll see the mighty, miraculous hand of God again, but we must fast and pray. The devil don't like this message. Hear me today. We know that in the book of Matthew, chapter 17, there was a man who brought his little boy to Jesus. He was a boy that was demon-possessed. Oftentimes, the Bible said that he would cast himself into the fire and try to drown himself. He was driven by the powers of hell. And ever this man so desperate came to Jesus, he said, I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cast out this devil. And Jesus said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, bring the little boy to me. And Jesus spoke the word and commanded the devil to leave. And the disciples were confused, and they said, Lord, why couldn't we cast out this devil? And Jesus made it clear that this was a very powerful demon. He said in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 17, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. There had to be something linked to prayer. It had to be the ultimate weapon we call fasting. Once again, fasting deals the death blow to that physical man, that carnal mind, and whenever we do this, the Holy Ghost can begin to flow. I think it's very interesting that the NIV Bible has completely omitted the verse number 21 out. It goes from verse number 20 to 22. Isn't that special? It is completely omitted out of the NIV Bible. It goes from Matthew 17, verse 20, and they don't even try to hide it. It goes to from 17 and 20 to verse number 22. I'm going to tell you, that devil is a crafty little devil. He don't want you to know what happens when we begin to fast and pray. This same story is written in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 9 and verse 29. And instead of omitting that particular verse, he just takes out the word fast. And he said unto them in Mark 9 and 29, this kind can come forth nothing but by prayer. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. The devil knows that whenever we begin to fast, are you with me today? He knows the power of the Spirit will begin to manifest in our lives again. And when we begin to pray, it's that new man praying directly to an eternal God. Listen, God will not deal with this old man. This old man's got to die. But when the new man created in righteousness and in true holiness has fasted and prayed, that death blow dealt to the old man, the new man can cry out to God, and God will begin to hear our cry. Do you want to see miracles today? Do you want to see blinded eyes open? Do you want to see cancer disappear? We must fast and we must pray. Oh, listen, the old devil is a wise serpent, isn't he? The other enemy that hates this message is my own flesh. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing about flesh fasting that this flesh likes. Oftentimes, whenever we get to the point of preaching on fasting or talking about fasting, my flesh immediately begins to fight against that. I've heard people make every excuse in the book, Brother Matt. I get headaches. I feel sick. I feel like I'm going to die. Well, praise God, if that's working in your life, that's exactly what's supposed to be happening. You are supposed to die to yourself. Oh, God's trying to work on you. Oh, you say, I can't do it. Oh, yes, you can, unless you got medical issues. You can just drink some water and push through that thing. Amen. You and I must die. The flesh must die. And when I say the flesh, I'm referring to the body and the carnal mind, because they are both linked together. The flesh hates fasting. The Bible tells us over and over again to crucify the flesh. Crucify the old man. Paul the apostle said, I must die daily. You see, inside every one of us that are born again, there is an old man and a new man. And there is a constant warfare between the old man and the new man. I'll never forget 1996, the year I got saved. I came to my dad and I said, Dad, God's dealing with me. The Holy Ghost has convicted me. I think I'm about to give my life to God. He said, Son, back in them days, I was real strong. I used to lift weights every other day. He said, Son, you lift weights every day. He said, what happens when you stop lifting weights? I said, what are you talking about? He said, son, your flesh. He said, listen, he said, just answer my question. I said, well, you get weak. He said, son, your flesh and your spirit are in a constant warfare. Whichever one you feed the most is going to win the battle. Well, listen to me today. That truth reigns within every one of us. Whatever we feed the most, whether this flesh, it's going to win. But if we'll feed the spirit man, the things of God, if we'll fill our mind with the thoughts of God, come on, church, God will strengthen us in the new man, and that new man will gain ascendancy over the old man, and you will be a powerful child of God. You can pray the prayer of faith, and you will see miracles come to pass. You can overcome those little sins that you can't overcome, but you've got to crucify this old man. You've got to deal the death blow to the old man through the fast, and then build yourself up in the most holy faith, and you and I will be different. Have you ever seen them folks are just born again and victorious over all the sins of this world? I can tell you it is no secret. It's the ultimate weapon called the church, fasting. God's still calling the church to fast. And hear me, it's time to sanctify a fast. It's time. It's time to call this fast for you and I, not just in January, but we must make fasting a part of our life. Listen, that flesh is driven by food. The Bible tells us to crucify this old flesh. Listen, those things that I don't want to do, Paul said, I do. Those things that I don't do, listen, those things that I don't do, I do. And the ones I don't want to do, I do. It's a completely reversed in the opposite. And I'll never forget, you know, whenever my girls were younger. You know, my girls right now are 19 and 21. Madison's always just been that. She's been that, you know, she just had that look in her eye, you know. We were walking through Sears, and Hannah Montana was dancing on every TV. I mean, Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus, she's full of the devil, by the way. You look at her right now, listen. She just look at what she stands for. It's everything anti-God. But that little girl, Hannah Montana, she was just a cute little thing. She was dancing all over that screen. And we were walking through there. And, you know, we preached against Hannah Montana to our girls. But, boy, they were captivated by her ability to sing and entertain. And she was good. We walked by those TVs. And the girls were just captivated looking at those TVs all the way outside. We got in the car, and I a little bit of a fear struck my heart because I knew there was a pull on that heart from this world. I looked at those girls, and I said, listen, girls, you're not going to be in trouble. I think they were about 6 years old and 8 years old, or maybe 7 and 9. I said, listen, you're not going to be in trouble. Listen, when we walked by Hannah Montana, did you like that? Madison said, yeah, Daddy, I did. I said, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I didn't say there's nothing wrong with that. I said, that's completely normal. Now y'all are waiting on what I really said here. I said, that's completely normal. This flesh wants this world, but this flesh will destroy you. Everything that this flesh craves and longs for, you got to crucify this old flesh. I said, Madison, you got to fight against this flesh. My flesh wants this world, and your flesh wants this world. There's a constant warfare. I said, you're feeling right now is completely normal, but you got a war against it. Do you want to get to heaven? Do you want to have eternal life? Do you want to experience the things of God? I'm going to tell you something. There's a spirit out there that'll constantly pull at you. You say, what's wrong with this or what's wrong with that? Most of those things will pull you away from God. We are to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. It's time to sanctify a family. It's time to let the new man warn and gain ascendancy over the old man. This flesh has got to die, but the flesh don't want to die. It's a warfare between the flesh and the spirit. Hear me. This kind of warfare is not present in the unregenerate. Do you hear me? Whenever you're not saved, the flesh drives you. Whatever feels good, tastes good, looks good, whatever you think it is pleasurable to the eyes, you do. There's not a warfare because that new man isn't born again. He's in death. That spirit's in darkness. The warfare does not take place until a person gets born again. And still now, whenever a person gets born again, that spirit man that is born again is constantly warring against that flesh. This is spoken of by Paul in Galatians chapter 4 and 2. He speaks of this allegory. He says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he that was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar." He's saying this, that Abraham was promised a child. You know the story. In his old age, his wife never got pregnant, so she gave her bondservant, her handmaiden, to Abraham. He went into her. They had a child, a type of the flesh. That's a type of not waiting on God. That's a type of not waiting on his promises. Are you with me? Whenever you and I hear a voice of God, he speaks to us. He gives us his word. Listen, when God promises you something, you can take it to the bank. If you'll hold out and trust him, you're going to get that promise. But they didn't. They created something in that flesh. And that flesh, that child that was born of the flesh, was called Ishmael. He's the father of the Muslim people today. And whenever he was there in that tent, there was no trouble. But it wasn't till the seed of promise, Isaac, was born. He came in that tent. Ishmael began to cause problems. And I'm going to tell you, when you're a born again child of God, there is a warfare, and one of them's got to go. Isaac and Ishmael cannot dwell in the same tent. What did he say a little bit further down in that chapter? He said, "Cast out the bondservant and her son." What is he saying? Crucify this old man. You cannot operate in the flesh and operate in the spirit in the same transaction. Cast out the bondservant and her son. Abraham had to make the lady leave and her son. Now, this is a type of the flesh. Listen, I'm talking about fasting. I'm talking about crucifying that old man. Listen, whenever I get saved, I'm not my own anymore. I've been bought with a price. Listen, I don't call the shots. I don't tell God what I'm going to do and where I'm going to go and how I'm going to have this thing handled. No, he is now Lord of my life. Many want Jesus as Savior, but they don't want him as Lord. I've got some news for you, my friend. If Jesus is not Lord of your life, he is not Savior of your life. Oh, he said many will come in the last day and say, "Lord, Lord, we've cast out devils, we've healed the sick, we've done many wonderful works in thy name." He said, "In that last day I will say to them, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you. You took the gifts and left the giver." I'm talking about there's a warfare going on. We must crucify the flesh. Harvest Time Church, hear me. If we will keep our part of the covenant and cast out the bondservant and her son, we're going to see miracles in this last day. What's stopping the miracles? What's stopping God moving the way that with the Bible and the book of Acts describes the way that many revivals in the times past have happened? What's stopping that? I can tell you, it's the person that I look at every day in the mirror. It's my attitude. It's everything that I want. It's my selfishness. Listen, sometimes I can be very giving, but sometimes Matt Gregory can be so selfish. Don't look at me funny now. Because you know the same thing's true about you. Hear me. Revival stopped only by the flesh. When you're a child of God, we got to cast out the bondservant and her son. We've got to fast and deal the death blow to this old flesh. Since every appetite of the human is fed by food, when you take away food from a person, it is weakened, and the appetites of the flesh are curbed. Are you with me? We're trying to weaken this old flesh man. Eating sometimes can become a sin. Let me tell you what my sister-in-law said about me. She says, "You're the skinniest foodie I've ever seen." I'm thinking, man, am I overtaken with food too much? Listen, you can. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, Jesus said, "You can be overcharged with surfeiting and not be ready for the coming of the Lord. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unawares. What does it mean? It means an appetite. Every appetite, hear me, must be kept in the bounds of moderation, or it can become a dominating, driving force in the life. It's not just overweight people. You can have a skinny person that is driven by the appetites of the flesh. Driven by the things that appeal to this natural man. Listen, when this happens, when you're driven by the flesh, you must crucify that thing. Fasting, it means God has given us this to curb it, to crucify it. Fasting begins with doing without food. Why? Because everything that's alive, plant, animal, human, it has to have food to live. Listen, this flesh has to have food to live. The things that we can't stop doing, we pray about. We ask God to change in us. We have attitudes. We have pride. We have lustful desires and a covetous spirit. All of these things. And we say, oh God, please help me. Let me get down to this altar right here. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you to help me. What happens? We get down to the altar. We do pray. But we say a little prayer. We get down here and we get up. We don't change a thing. Let me tell you something. If you want to really deal a death blow to that old flesh, you've got to weaken him through the fast. And at the same time, you read the word of God during the fast. You pray, you build yourself up in the most holy faith. What happens? The new man, the spirit man, gains an ascendancy over that flesh man. And there is a change in your life. You say, I can't stop. You might not can stop within yourself. But ladies and gentlemen, if you deal the death blow to the old man and let God Almighty begin to manifest himself in your life again, you will see the power of God operate again in your life. People have been bound by pornography for years. It's going to send you to hell. I hope it ain't happening in this church. Justifying and, well, God knows that I love him, but I'm weak in this area. Repent. Turn from it. Repentance doesn't just mean to say, Lord, I'm sorry, but it means to have a change of heart, mind, and conduct. A 180 degree turn. I'm walking this direction, but repentance comes and I turn and I walk a different direction. I begin to change things in the house. I get rid of some things. I throw away my little black book. I delete my old contacts. Are you with me today? That's what you new folks, what you need to do. You don't know what a little black book is. You just delete those contacts. Whatever you got to do, you got to repent, change it. Are you with me today? That's what God's telling us to do, to deal the death blow to that old man. Listen, God's as holy as he ever was. This Bible has not changed. I know preachers change. I know denominations change. But the word of God is forever and it will endure forever. And we must stand flat-footed on the word of God. It is true. Fasting puts down the old man. Prayer lifts up the new. Whatever those things dominate in your life right now, there are no excuses, because you can deal the death blow to that old man. Not only must we fast the body and the physical, but we must also fast the mind. Perhaps the mind is more of a threat to our spiritual life than even our physical appetite. Think about it. What we feed the mind ultimately determines the actions. Yes, fasting is dealing with not eating and fasting the body and doing without food, but fasting the mind. Listen, whatever you feed upon, you are what you eat in your mind. Whatever goes in here, whatever goes in those eyes. You say, Brother Matt, I don't cuss until I use a hammer and I hit my hand with a hammer. I can tell you, it's because you've been watching that garbage on television. It's time for us to get sanctified, set apart. You say, well, Brother Matt, I just can't. Oh, yes, you can. You can get sanctified. It's time to get your mind in the right direction. Anything that you fill that mind with, if you put it in, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to come out. If you put the good things of God in, you're going to have joy and peace and life. And you are going to have faith, and that faith more abundantly. Hear me today. We must fast our minds. For a period of time, we need to unplug the TV. Turn off social media, YouTube. Leave the news for later. For that same period of time, we give ourselves to the Word of God, good godly music, worship, prayer. Come on, fellowship with the saints of God. And during that time, your new man gains ascendancy over the old man. Let me give you a Burt Clendenin quote. We in America have destroyed our physical taste buds. We go into the finest restaurants. The waitress gives us a menu with selections from French cuisine to Mexican food. I've never had French cuisine. We turn up our noses and wonder if there isn't something else to eat. Our taste buds are so bland, we have to put salt on our food that gives us high blood pressure. We take the finest steaks in the world and put sauce on it. Nothing tastes like it should. The loss of the ability to taste, hear me. The loss of the ability to taste, he said, can be regained with a 5-day water fast. Push back the plate for 5 days, drink nothing but water, and at the end of the 5 days, a little wafer will taste like a fine cake. Oh, come on. When I'm fasting, nothing but water fasting, you can come in them back doors. If you've been to Ricardo's and you walk through them back doors, I can say, yeah, you've been to Ricardo's. I got the sense of a deer. I can smell like a deer. But I can tell you, everything tastes good when you come off of a water fast. Listen, today, many of us are going to say, well, where do you want to go to eat? Well, I don't know. Nothing sounds good. Me and my wife have driven around the loop. We've driven up and down Broadway. If you're guilty, say amen. We don't know where to eat. Nothing tastes good to us. Nothing sounds good. I look at her. I say, we must not be hungry. I guess not. But we go and eat just because we don't want to get hungry. I don't eat because I'm hungry. I eat to keep from getting hungry. But listen to me. Our taste buds have been satisfied so much so that nothing sounds good to us. That's the same principle. The Word of God doesn't sound good to us. The things of God are not satisfying. Why? Because we're filled up with the things of this world. Social media may not be a sin if you use it correctly. YouTube or television, it's not necessarily sin if you're not watching sinful things. But we are so filled up on things. Whenever it comes to the things of God, we don't hunger, we don't thirst, and we wonder what the problem is. It's time not only to fast our physical body, but to fast our minds. Get away, turn off the television, delete social media. Every year I preach on this. I get a little kickback from the social media thing. Listen, if you don't want to delete it, I don't think you're not lost. That's not saved. That's your own personal prerogative. But listen to me. If we can't do without social media for 30 days, woo. And I listen, I'm not going to track anybody. I'm not tracking. No one's going to come up to me and say, Brother Matt, this person, they've been on Facebook. Well, that means you've been on Facebook. It's kind of like that little kid that's opened their eyes during the prayer, and they said, you had your eyes open. Well, how'd you know you had your eyes open? Listen to me today. I don't have a problem with Facebook. Then why can't you turn it off for 30 days? I don't have a problem with this or with that. Listen, it's all about, once again, getting our taste buds back for the things of God. It's time to fast not just our body, but to fast our mind, and you will begin to have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God like you have never known before. Do you want to hunger for God? Do you want to be in that place where you want Him more than you want the breath that you breathe? Listen to me. It's time again to fast and to pray and let God do what God does. In addition to all of that, we'll never see revival until we fast and pray. Never. We need the power of Pentecost right now. I'm not talking about the games that men play. I'm not talking about, listen, again, I'm going to say this, make this very clear. I'm not against the shout, the run, but some people make that the manifestation of Pentecost. Oh, did y'all have a breakout service? Yeah, we had two or three repent at the altar and change. Yeah, I believe in breakout services. I believe in all that. But you look at the fruit of those who just do that kind of stuff. Listen, they ain't living righteous. They ain't living holy. I don't care how much you shout. I don't care how much you run. As long as your feet, when they hit the floor, you walk in a straight line, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. What is the message of Pentecost? The true message of Pentecost emphasizes that God the Father, through God the Holy Ghost, is displaying God the Son through a human instrument called the church. Let me say it again. The true message of Pentecost emphasizes that God the Father, through God the Holy Ghost, is displaying God the Son through a human instrument called the church. In our text, I read verse 15 in the book of Joel. Joel says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify fast and call a holy assembly. He's telling God's people to get serious. Repent. Sanctify yourselves. Fast. He says to those people, wickedness is everywhere. Look around us. The world's not getting holier. It's getting more wicked, more perverse, more dark. But where wickedness doth abound, he said, my grace does that much more abound. Yes, it is bad, but he said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked way, then I will hear from heaven, and then I will come and heal your land. God says, if you will, I will. Yeah, wickedness is everywhere. And he says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify fast, call a holy assembly. What's the answer to the crisis that we face today? Three things are the answer. I'm about to close. Repentance, prayer, and fasting. Repentance, prayer, and fasting. If you look at the history and study the history of revivals that have literally shook continents, these three elements were in play. Repentance, turning from your sin, repenting, crying out to God. We're wicked. We're wrong. Listen, whenever we get serious with God and humble ourselves before an almighty God and turn from those things, I'm going to tell you, God will hear you. He'll hear you. Prayer and fasting. Repentance, prayer, and fasting. The Great Awakening happened. The Great Awakening in the 1800s because people fasted and prayed. All revivals of past came this way. If you look in Joel chapter 2, very quickly, he gave seven prophetic promises to the children of Israel of things he would do for them as they responded to this divine call to fast and pray. I'm going to give them to you very quickly. In the all seven prophetic promises are in Joel chapter 2. I read in verse 15 to sanctify a fast. Now I want to show you, after they sanctified a fast, he gave them those promises. And hear me, Harvest Time Church. The same promises that he gave Joel and the people of Israel, he's going to give us. Are you ready? The first promise, the first prophetic promise, is that God broke their poverty and divine provision was released. Look in verse number 19 of Joel chapter 2. Yea, the Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. In essence, God was saying he would meet their every need. Listen, are you ready for the chains of your finances to break? I'm not a prosperity preacher. I preach against some greedy suckers, but I want to tell you something. There's a lot of principles about money we don't preach in the classical Pentecostal church because we're so afraid of being associated with that garbage. But I'm going to tell you something. The principles, God talks more about money in that New Testament than you can believe. If you can't get in the area of your finances, something's wrong with that heart. I can tell you it's an act of faith to do what God told us to do with our finances. But he said, if you will fast and pray, I'm going to break that poverty off of you. It didn't mean that you're going to get a jet airplane. Some man on TBN or one of these stations, Brother Clinton was watching him, and he said, my faith got a jet airplane. What did your faith get you? Brother Clinton and screamed back at the TV. He said, my faith delivered me from the vanity of wanting a jet airplane. Number two, as they fasted, God delivered them from their oppression, the oppression of their enemy. In verse 20 it says, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and I will drive them into a land barren and desolate. So the second promise, he would deliver them from the oppression of their enemy. As we respond to God's call of fasting and prayer, God promised to break the stranglehold of the enemy off your family. Hear me. Your loved ones, and release deliverance to those who are bound. Through the fast, he promised to release them. Listen, doesn't mean everybody's going to get saved just because you fast, but I'm going to tell you, I've seen so many things take place. There was a man that I worked with at Frito-Lay, and he was about 300 pounds. He was a husky guy. He was just a big guy. Next time I seen him, he was 170 pounds. I said, man, what happened to you? I thought he had cancer. He said, my wife left me. And he said, I ain't going to eat a bite until she comes home. He said, I'm praying. I'm going to break the bands of wickedness. Listen, sometimes it works. I'm going to tell you, she would have had to walk through a barbed wire fence with glass and everything else to divorce that man, but he ended up getting her back. Why? God listened to the cry of his heart. I'm not saying it's a foolproof thing every time, because God's not going to override the free will of man. But if you ever got a chance to get a miracle and break the back of oppression off of your family, it's through the fast and it's through praying. Number three. God promised to cause former and latter rain to come down. Woo! Former and latter rain. In this verse, he combines them both together. What was the former rain? The former rain was the rain that would come and it would soften the ground. It would make the ground pliable to farm. The farmers could plant. Listen, that's what the Holy Ghost does. The rain of the Spirit, it starts plowing up the hearts so the seed of the Word of God can come into that heart. What does the latter rain do? The latter rain, it comes and it rains on that seed and it brings forth life. Listen, you can look at this in a prophetic way. You can look at it in a way that it's an application of working simultaneously, because in this passage, it was the former and the latter rain. Or you can look at it at time, different times. God sends it first and then later on he sends a latter rain. Nevertheless, he said, if you will fast and pray, sanctify fast, I'll send the former and the latter. How many of you want the rain of the Holy Ghost? Do you want the moving of the Spirit of God? Then we've got to fast and pray. It's time to sanctify a fast. Number four, God promised that he would prosper his people. Can someone come to the piano? He promised he would prosper them. Verse 24 of Joel, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. That's after the fast. Yeah, God does care about your physical needs. That's not to take preeminence over the spiritual things. But hey, David said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. I believe God takes care of his people. But that, whether or not you have money or you don't have money, you can't say, well, this is where I am spiritually. The richest men and women in the world are the most wicked men in the world. Some of the poorest in the world are the godliest. But I want to tell you, God knows how to take care of his people. So to them, having food and shelter, they may feel like they're the richest people in the world. Are you with me? Number five, God promised to restore what the enemy had stolen. Look at verse 25. This is all after the fast. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. He promised to restore what the enemy has stolen. How many of you have had things stolen from you or your family? The devil has stolen things, precious things. Years that you can't get back. Situations that can't be undone. There are times that I thought, I wish I could go back and do this different and that different. And maybe the domino effect of change would have went a different direction. You can't get those things back. But I want to tell you something. He said, I'll restore the years that the palmer and the canker worm have eaten. What does that mean? That means it'll almost look like the devil never stole it. He'll get it back for you. Come on, church. And it's after the fast. We got to fast. Number six, God promised after fasting and prayer would come a pouring out of his spirit. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions after the fast. Everything is tied to prayer and fasting. No wonder the devil wants to take it out of the Word of God. No wonder the devil wants you to hold off until February, March, April, May, June, another time. He wants to get our minds off of this because he knows what will happen when we begin to fast and pray. Number seven, God promised to manifest signs and wonders. Verse 29 of Joel chapter 2. And also upon my servants and my handmaidens in those days I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in heaven and in earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. I'm going to get real with you. In closing, I'm going to get really, really real with you. Be very blunt. I'm going to be very honest, and hopefully this will be done in love. Most of us are all talk and no action. I've been guilty. Woo, let's pray. Let's believe God. Now, won't you do something about it? We got lost children, grandchildren, family members, right? I'm just waiting on the Lord. Lord's just waiting on you. Well, I believe in time. I believe in time God will bring them in. Yeah, in time where you may, hopefully you won't run out of time. We say a lot, but we do very little because our flesh don't want to do it. Do we really believe the gospel? My pastor, he drilled some things in me. I love that man. There's some things I do probably because it's part of my personality, and maybe I was drawn to him because our personalities were similar. But Brother Taylor used to say, dealing with fasting and prayer and getting busy for God, he said many, many times, he said, we talk a lot, but we do very little. We have as much God as we want of God. There's a lot of talk going on. But whenever we really get serious with God, we'll push back the plate and we'll pray. Now listen, we're creatures of habit. I get in bad habits, you get in bad habits. Right? We get in this mode of the same direction, and we, in the back of our mind, in our conscience, we know we need to change some things. Am I the only one that feels this way? We know. Well, right now is the time to change it. Right now. We need to change some things. We need to change our commitments to God. Everything in this kingdom has to do with faith. Do we really believe God? I can promise you this. If you really believe that fasting would work and break the bands of wickedness and loose heavy burdens, as Isaiah talked about, you'd have no problem fasting. It all comes down to faith. What we believe the Word will do for us or what it won't do for us. Do you believe? Do you believe? I don't want to be a part gospel believer. I'm a full gospel believer. Some other churches say, full gospel. We preach a full gospel message. I say, you preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You preach against sin? I preach on grace and the love of God and the mercy of God, but you got to preach everything. You can't just take part. If you're a full gospel Christian, he says in Matthew, when you fast, not if, But when you fast, when you give, not if, and when you pray. Those three things, when you fast, when you pray, when you give, not if. But he says, when you give, do it in secret, that your right hand, your left hand knows not what your right hand does. When you fast, be not like the hypocrites that disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. They walk in like, well, what's wrong, Brother Matt? Oh, I'm sacrificing for Jesus. You have your reward. You know what your reward is? That he knew you were fasting for Jesus. And when you pray, be not as the hypocrites, that they would pray, make long prayers. He's not saying that you can't pray out loud and you cannot pray in public. That's not what he's saying. He was saying that when you have the heart to be seen of men and for men to say, oh, how eloquent. Oh, he's holy. That's your reward. But when you pray, he said, go in your closet and your Father that sees in secret will reward you. Do you want to see the hand of God? Do you believe all the Bible? Can we stand? Do we believe all the Bible? This is one of the givingest churches financially. Tithers is unbelievable, the percentage of tithers. So I can preach mainly to other congregations out there. You need to be tithing. You show your faith when you give. Whenever you put your money where your mouth is, that's whenever you really got something. I'm not saying that's the seals the deal. Everything must be done by faith. Everything in this kingdom, it's an element of faith. Do you believe this works? Do you believe what God says? Do you believe this is the will of God? Do you believe that this is a sin against God? Everything comes, do I believe this book? What it all comes down to is, do I believe this book? If I believe this book, I'm going to do what it says for me to do. Everything else is cheap talk. And I've been guilty of cheap talk. Cheap talk. The cheap talk's got to end. We need to change course. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for forgiveness. We can cry out to God. Here's what we can say this morning from the depth of our heart. God, I've forsaken you. I have forsaken the well, and I've hewn down a cistern. Help me. You can tell the Lord, Lord, I have not been keeping your word. I haven't been serious. But I'm going to ask you this morning. I want you to pray this prayer. Lord, help me this morning to get serious. To walk in your word. To be a child of God who does the word of God. Listen, it's not the hearers of the word, Paul says in Romans, that are justified. But it's the doers of the word that are justified. Not the hearers, but the doers. It's time to get serious with God. I want us to come and stand all across this front of these altars. Let's get in here close, all the way to the front of the altars. Everyone who is physically able, I want us to come up here. This message today and your response to this message could determine a lot of things in the future, your future, the future of your children, your grandchildren, your whole environment could be determined on what you do today. What are we going to do? How are we going to respond? Today's the day. Today, I'm so glad for his mercy. I'm so glad for his grace because he is so good to us. He is so good to us. We'll fail and he'll say, come back, son. Come back, my daughter. I love you. Get it straight. There will be a time when there's a last chance. But if you're here this morning, it's not your last. You're here, so you got another chance. It's time to get serious. The hour's late. Men and women, boys and girls are dying and going to hell. And we're playing games. We get our feelings hurt. We criticize. We do all these other things. We want to preserve our retirement. It's time to get serious with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, search us this morning. Holy Ghost, I'm asking you to search us this morning. Today's the day that you're speaking this to our hearts. Oh God, we don't want to have the blood of loved ones on our hands because we refuse to fast and pray and latch hold of the horns of the altar. Oh God, I'm asking you to give us a burden. Give us a burden, Lord, for the hurting, the dying, the loss of this world. Lord, we want to change. We want to be different. We don't want to go through the motions of religion. We don't want this to be an ordinary service where the Spirit of God convicts us, but we leave the place the same as what we came in. Lord, I'm asking you to change us this morning. By the power of your Spirit, change us this morning. Holy Ghost of God, change us this morning. Let there be a divine work of the Spirit of God. I want you to lift your hands and begin to cry out to God in this house. All over this building, let's cry out to the Lord in repentance. Let's ask the Lord to help us, give us grace to do what we need to do in the closing hours of the dispensation of grace. Today's the day. Right now, it is the hour. Lost souls, they're dying, perishing all around us, and we're doing nothing. Let's cry out to the Lord. Lift your voices. Oh, God. Show us. Show us, Lord. Show us, Lord.
Is the place where I'm.
Oh, yes, Lord.